Okay, thanks very much for the invitation down to speak a word of testimony. If you have a Bible, I would like you to open it to John 14, please. John chapter 14. And the reason why I'm saying open your Bible at John chapter 14 is because this word is truth. God can't lie. And even in the Sunday school, I will say to the boys and girls in my class to bring your Bibles, make sure you bring your Bibles to the Sunday school. For the reason being is because I don't want to tell them anything that is not out of this word that needs to be the truth. And it's funny, we were over in the Martyrs Church on Thursday night and Friday night, and there was a children's mission on, and we took our children over. And there was a great turnout night over there. But it's funny, I mean, I know there's a lot of people here do door-to-door work and evangelism and giving out a gospel tract, which is good. It's extremely good now. And as I was heading home, there was a young lad in my car, and he does go to our Sunday school. He's been going over this last few years, but yet he wasn't saved. And as I was heading home, he called his name John. I says, John, I says, are you saved, son? He says, no, I'm not. I says, do you know that you need to get saved to get into heaven? He says, yes, I do. I says, have you ever thought about getting saved? He says, I have. I says, do you know how to get saved? He says, I do. I says, well, why are you not saved? I don't know, he says. So I dropped him off at the house, and I give him a wee track, and funny, it's a children's track. It's a wee track like this here. It's this one here, actually. Identical to this one. And I called him back from the door. I says, John, I says, take this wee track here, and just says on it, how to get to heaven. Okay? And he took the track in. And I seen him the next night on a Thursday night, not thinking anything about it. And I just said to him, I said to him on Thursday night, I says, John, when you go into the house, I says, you just read what that track says. Okay? And you just do what it says. And invite Jesus into your heart. And let Jesus do the rest. And he says, okay. And away he went. So Friday night he came back to the meeting, and he went over to the mission, and he came back again. And I was dropping him off home, and he turned around and he says, Mark, I says, what is it, son? He says, I read that track you gave me. I says, when did you read it? He says, I read it as soon as I went in last night. I went into the kitchen, my mommy was making me a cup of tea, and I read the track while I was standing there. I says, well, that's good. I says, I'm what? He says, well, I just admitted to the Lord that I was a sinner. And I says, Lord, I am a sinner. I know I am. I broke your commandments. Lord Jesus, will you come into my heart and will you save me? And there and then in his kitchen, the Lord Jesus saved him. As a young boy, about 10 years old, he came to faith in Christ. And I says, John, that's good. But I says, are you sure? Do you really know that you're saved? Oh, yes, Mark, I do. And he says, well, have you said to anybody? He says, yes. He says, I said to my mommy, I'm only after getting saved. And his mommy said, that's good. You know, and well, basically, that was it. Another precious soul at a young age, one for Christ. And that makes it a lot better. But unfortunately, my testimony, excuse me, can I take a drink of this? Unfortunately, my testimony, I didn't get saved a lot later in life. So I didn't. But I want to read a portion of scripture, and this would bring part of my testimony about the Lord, how the Lord saved me. John chapter 14, verse 1. And the word of God says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas says unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus says unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Amen. This portion of scripture sums up how the Lord Jesus Christ saved my soul. But I want to go back. how the Lord not only saved my soul, but how the Lord preserved me through life. When I was born, there was complications through health. And when I was born, I was literally born in the house. So I was. Now, my mother didn't realise that she was carrying me until 2 weeks before I came into this world. And saying that, my nephew, you saw me up in church, my nephew saw me. He's actually 2 weeks older than me, and he was actually, his mommy, my sister, was having him 2 weeks, and then I appeared. Now, and saying that, when I was born, my bladder was lying outside my stomach, okay? And, well, they rushed me to hospital, and they shoved the bladder back in again. Now, obviously, being so young, I wouldn't know all about that stuff. But in saying that there, the doctor turned around and says to my mother, to my father, look, after 3 days, if everything goes fine, it'll be all right. So within 2.5 days, laying there, strung up like a chicken, tubes everywhere, and all of a sudden, my stomach just went boom, and everything just straight out onto the bed. And the doctor just apparently just lifted me one hand and just lifted everything else and shoved it back in again, straight down to the surgery, and done what he had to do and stitched me all back up. And obviously, my mommy and daddy, parents, they were concerned, they were worried, as any parent would be for their child. And they said to the doctor, well, what do you think? He says, look, he says, I've done all I can. It's only in God's will if he lives or if he dies. Well, in God's will, I'm here today. And God preserved my life, so he did, right through these years. Now, as I grew up, I did go to Sunday school. I didn't know much about Sunday school. All I remember in Sunday school is going through this corridor with a glass roof. And what was preached or what was said to me, I hadn't got a clue. I never took anything in, or rather should I say, I turned a deaf ear. But I always remembered, I had this book in the house, this Bible, this picture Bible in the house. And I loved looking at the pictures of the like of the building of Noah's Ark and Moses going round through the Red Sea and King David and all these things. And I read the pictures more than I read the words in this picture, in this children's picture Bible. But as years went on and I went to school and I left school, then, as the saying is, sin started to take a grip. And as I went on, I got into drinking, into gambling, into smoking, trying drugs, and eventually met this girl, and her and I, we were living together for a lot of years. And my friend Tommy, who I used to go out fishing with, now, to me, I always believed that, yes, there was a God. I believed, yes, there was a God. Well, I never really questioned too much about how he created everything. It didn't really bother me. It didn't give me a second thought. But I remembered one day, my friend and I, Tommy, we were out fishing. And I was saying to him, I says, Tommy, do you know anything about the Bible? And this man read the Bible from cover to cover. And he read it for years, and he studied it for years, and he was never, ever saved. I said, well, what do you ask? And I said, Tommy, tell me this. It says, as far as I'm aware, God created everything. He made everything. He says, that's right. It says that in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I said, but what I can't understand is, how did God speak to a man to build a big boat, to put all these animals in, and then send the flood? How did God open the sea for all the people to walk through? And it was just questions after questions after questions after questions. And basically what was he doing? Without even thinking, I was seeking. And God in his word says, seek and you shall find. And I was seeking without even realizing what I was doing, because the Spirit of God He was working within me to show me what I needed. And as I was seeking the truth, and this went on for about 6 months, friend Tommy turned around and says to me, he says, Mark, he says, have you got a Bible in the house? I said, well, I don't know, maybe I have somewhere. He says, well, go and get your Bible. Look for the truth. Find the truth yourself. And I'm going, okay, sorry, I'm for asking questions, you know. So I went into the house. I didn't even know I had a Bible in the house. So I rummaged through the drawers, and I found this wee small picture Bible. So I did. And there it goes. And as soon as I lifted this wee small picture Bible, it was just like there was a hunger. There was a hunger and a desire to read it. And I started reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I read it. And basically, that's all it was just words. Nothing else, nothing more. And as I said, Tommy and I were still going out fishing, and we would come down here on the downhill beach. So we would, and we would fish off the beach and Castle Rock and so on and so forth. And as I was reading, I remember I went to bed at night. Now, in saying this, there was this other woman and I, we were living together. We weren't married. We were living in sin. And I make it abundantly clear, we were living in sin. And when I read the scriptures, I even went to bed at night and actually literally stuck the New Testament under my pillow. And I wakened up in the morning, and the first thing I went for was the New Testament. It was God's Word. And I sat downstairs and I read it. So I did. And as the saying is, the girlfriend who I was going out with, she was away to work and so on and so forth. So as I always did every morning, I went up to my mother's house up at their wee bungalow. And I always made her breakfast about 6 o'clock in the morning and so on and so forth, and looked after my mother. And I just came to this portion of John's scripture in God's Word here in John 14. And I just read it, as you heard, let not your heart be troubled. But I got down to this verse, and it was verse 4. And it says, at the latter end of verse 4, the way ye know. Now, that doesn't really sound too much for people who hear the way ye know. Now, the word ye, I hadn't got a clue. Literally, I hadn't got a clue. What does ye mean? So I'm hearing this word speaking to me, the way ye know. And I heard it, and I'm going, what was that? What was that? And I heard it again, the way ye know. But it was the word ye, I couldn't like kind of put it all together. And I literally just sat there on the settee and I went, what? And then I heard these words, the way you know. And it just penny dropped, because I read these scriptures. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the living God, was saying to me, you know how to get saved. You know the way to heaven. And I sat in the settee, and I literally just looked up towards the ceiling. And I says, Lord, I don't know the way. Please show me. And instantly, the Lord directed my eyes to the scriptures, and I opened the word, and I was just looking at it, and here it comes. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. The penny dropped. For me to get into heaven, I needed to go through Jesus. And literally, sitting on the chair, I received Christ as my Savior and as my Lord, and I jumped for joy. So I did. I knew it. I knew I was saved. I had no doubt whatsoever. But being a young Christian, I didn't know, anything about the Bible. So I'm sitting in the house, so I am, and the Lord has just given me this hunger and passion and desire just to read, and all I wanted to do was read and read. I was like a sponge, just give me more. I just couldn't get enough. And as I read the word, the Lord was just filling my heart and filling my soul with his truth. And then about a week later, now I didn't go to church now, and about a week later, the Lord put a desire to go to church, and he directed me towards the Jesus Saves, a Bible church. Then it was called the Jesus Saves Mission. And literally, because I was born and reared in the Tigers Bay area, and all the friends that I knew lived in the Tigers Bay area, and I'm walking up, and I see this like signpost outside the church, and I'm standing in the front of the road trying to see it, the times of the services, because I didn't want anybody seeing me walking up that signpost, reading the times of the services, in case they said something to me. Was I embarrassed? Yes, of course I was. And I'll admit it, I was embarrassed. But I was young, I was only literally a week old in Christ. So I built up the courage to walk over. And I seen the times of services on the sign. So I made up my mind one evening, it was a Friday night, I think. I went up to the church and it wasn't open. So it wasn't, because it was a children's meeting zone. I thought the church was open. So the following Tuesday, the Lord put it into my heart to go and try again. So I went up to the church and I seen this wee light on. It was about the 10th of May or something like that. And I seen this wee light on and I went up to the front door and I felt that size. I felt like a wee child. Walking up to this door and knocking the door, you know what I mean? Hoping like somebody would come out and speak to me nice. And I rapped the door and the pastor of the church came out, Brother Eric. And he came out and he looked at me. And I went, can I join? And that was literally it. And that was about 9:15 at night. You see? So I went in and I sat down. And 15 minutes later, the meeting was over and I was away. And that was me in the door. And that was me even right up until this very day. Now, in saying that, I had to grow. Now, some people, they can zoom. Some people learn the hard way. I'm one of them people. I have to learn the hard way. So, as I was growing in Christ, the Lord was showing me, first and foremost, that I needed to deal with sin. There's sin in my life, and I need to deal with it. Okay? Here's what the Lord done. The Lord took the desire of drink away like that. No more thought. And I enjoyed drinking. I enjoyed going out and having a drink, or even getting a few beers and so on and so forth and bringing them into the house. The Lord not only took that away instantly, but he took the bad language away. Because literally speaking, I would have cursed and swore. Literally, to my shame, I would have used God's name in vain without even a second thought. And it never even gave me a second thought, to be truthful with you. I'm not saying I'm a holy Joe here. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And as I was going on, the Lord took the desires of drink away. He took the desires of cursing away. He took the desires of gambling away. And gambling just eats your money. You always think you're going to win, but you don't. But I had a problem with smoking. And it was a huge problem. And I knew that I had to give up smoking, but I enjoyed it. Now, smoking, you're close to the shore. I always maintain sin. Sin, if any of you are on the shore, you maybe see a limpet stuck to a rock. Sin is like that. It takes grip, and the more you feed it, the stronger the grip gets. And as a limpet's on a rock, you have to give it a good wallop with a stone or something to break it off. Now, not only that, I was living in sin. So I was. Wasn't married, was with this girl for just over 10 years. We were living together. We never thought much of it. And I was just living literally in sin. But the Lord showed me in his word that it's wrong. Mark, you're saved. This girl's not saved. You're not married. It's wrong. But the Lord had to show me. Sorry, people telling me. You know what I mean? I mean, you could tell people, you know what I mean? And all you think, they're always getting at you. And this is my response, well, they're always getting at me. But the Lord directed me to Corinthians. And the Lord clearly says to me in Corinthians 6 and 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Verse 17, wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. God clearly showed me through his precious word that I was living in sin. I was unmarried. And God says to me, be separate. Now, for somebody who's living in sin and living with somebody for 10 years, I just couldn't just get up and go, ciao. Because the simple reason was, I'm going, if I get up, I mean, what's going to happen? And I was thinking about the other person as well. So it was due to the fact that it just doesn't affect me. It also affects her. And like, what has she done? You know what I mean? For me to get up and walk out. And it wouldn't be nice. But the Lord literally showed me in this. But basically speaking, I hadn't got the courage to get up and walk out. But I did say to her, I was saved. We literally separated in the house. She stayed in one room, and I stayed in the other. And I was still living in sin. Now, as the months went on, I was still going to church. And I was still witnessing to other people. But I was still living in sin. Well, there was this dear sister in the Lord. And it was actually in the shopping center. And she passed by me one day and she says, how are you, Martin? I says, I'm all right. She says, you're still living in sin. You know what's wrong. And it was like arrows down. And the man went, what? I give us a break. And it was just like an arrow, a dagger going into. She was telling me off for something that I knew what I was doing. And literally, because my hackles went up, I turned round and says to her, because I knew she went to church. And I suppose like it was the wrong response. I mean, she was right in what she was saying, but bad timing, if you understand what I mean. And obviously, because my hackles went up, I turned around and looked at her, and I went, what are you talking about? I says, you're sitting in God's house. And I says, your head's not even covered. And it says in God's word that a woman ought to cover her head. And she went, that doesn't really mean that. And then away she went. So that basically just rocked the boat. So it did. You know, but it was just through get me own back, if you understand what I mean. So at the end of the day, I went home and I prayed about it, and I wanted to do the right thing. Then, as I said, as months went by, and literally a year and a half went by when God challenged me. Now, by this time, a year and a half, I was out round the doors, because God put me out round the doors witnessing for him to preach the gospel, to win the lost, and precious souls were getting converted. And it was lovely. But I was still in sin. And I was still smoking. Bible in one hand, cigarette in the other. Testimony. Don't be daft. It's not. But God convicted me of the two things. But God turned my attention to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 12. And I was studying God's word. As the saying is, I was like a sponge. I wanted to do the right thing. God says he was going to be my father. And he is. And I love the Lord, and I want to serve God for the rest of my life. But God turned around and says to me in verse 12 of chapter 6, and here's where the hours of conviction really hammered home. God says to me, "Beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage." Now that verse says to me, "Mark, beware. Beware what I have done for you. I have brought you out from darkness. I have brought you out from the grip of sin and from the devil's snares round you. You beware." And it put the fear of God in me. And the Lord directed me over to the next chapter, chapter 7 and verse 2, and about the middle of verse 2. And it says here, now this is the Lord clearly speaking to me. And the Lord says, "Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughters thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy you and destroy thee suddenly." And I sat there and I read that, and what God says to me, don't marry them, don't make excuses, don't bend the rules to suit yourself. Don't do it. Don't make a promise with them. Don't marry them. Get out of it. And if you don't, I'm going to deal with you. Well, I'll tell you, it put the fear of God into me. Because when God turned round and says, "So the anger of the Lord shall be kindled against you," I sat there and I was literally terrified. And the Lord says to me, "Choose you this day who you're going to serve." And I literally sitting in the house and I looked out the window with tears rolling down my face. My heart was busted because I did not know how to deal with this situation. And I just literally looked up towards the clouds and I says, "Lord, I want to follow you. I don't want to stand my sin." Now, don't get me wrong, I looked and I thought about it. And I says to myself, I says, "Okay, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. But what happens if I refuse and stay in my sin? Who's to say God will not take me home right away? What was it all worth? Who was going to say that God wouldn't have took the sin away from me by taking this girl away? What was it all going to be worth? Nothing. So I says to the Lord, "I want to follow thee." And I made a conscious decision. And I went forward. And the girl came in that night. And I says, "I need to sit down and talk with you." I says, "You know I'm saved." She says, "Yes." I says, "Well, Scripture clearly states that I need to obey God rather than man. God showed me in his word, because we are living together, we're not married, we are living in sin and it's forbidden." Now, no matter how much you want to gloss it up, it's wrong. Because God says it's wrong. God cannot lie. I'm saved, she wasn't. We weren't married, and it's wrong. And the Lord Jesus helped me through this. And the first thing she turned around, I knew this was coming. Well, literally, that actually helped, believe it or not. Because that kind of broke the ice. So it did. And I said there, "Well, here's the choices we have. The choice is, you get saved, We do the right thing, we get married, and we live for Christ. I have none of it. She didn't want it. Didn't want to get saved. I says, the only other alternative is I need to obey God. It's either you go or I go. Now, this was a year and a half later after my conversion. And she decided that she would go. But she says, what are we going to do with all the stuff that's in the house? Furniture. I says, well, there's an easy remedy. You take what you want, and what you don't need, leave it. So hence, she took it. So I was standing in the living room. Take it, you know what's going to be the question here. I was standing in the living room, and I was looking at the carpet, and I was looking at the bare walls, and I was looking at where the TV used to sit. And I says, Lord, I haven't even got an onion box to sit on. I've nothing left. It's all gone. Now, in saying that, she sold me the fridge. That wasn't bad. And I says, Lord, I haven't got an onion box to sit on. And your word says that you would meet me. You would meet my every need. Every need. I says, Lord, well, this would kind of be a good time to start. Now, and that was all right. So it was. So that evening, and the next morning I get up, and I got a phone call the next morning. And I mean, I just bring everything to God. I mean, you think it, God hears it. What's the sense of trying to hide stuff from God? It's a waste of time. When you think it, God hears it. And as I was saying to God, Lord, I've nothing to sit on. Well, the phone call came the next morning, and it was the same man, Tommy, a mate of mine, who phoned me up, and he says, Mark, I says, what is it, Tommy? He says, my daughter's getting rid of a lovely suite. He says, you wouldn't. He says, you don't know anybody that wants one. Me? Thank you, Lord. So that was the start. God says he will supply your need. So the Lord supplied me a suite, and he went on and supplied me furniture and so on and so forth. So we did. Now, and saying that, then I was out of that relationship and I was going on with God, but I was still smoking. So I was. Now I was going to church, and I was sitting in church the way you are sitting in here. So I was. Maybe before I got to the church, had a smoke, threw a cigarette, finished it, bunged it out the window, packed a polo, packed a straw man's down the throat. Nobody's going to know. You know, I was deceiving myself. But I thank other believers who knew that I was smoking, and they never condemned me. So they didn't. They didn't condemn me. But I really, really wanted to stop smoking. So I did. So I continued praying to the Lord, Lord, will you give me victory? Please give me victory over these cigarettes. And I maybe through my own strength, and I quote, it was my own strength, I stopped maybe for a week. Maybe stop for a 4 day. Hallelujah, I've got the victory. Then something happened, and I got annoyed, and boom, packet of cigarettes came out, smoked again. But it was one day, and I was actually listening to a preaching tape of Pastor McConnell at the White Well. And he was preaching on John the Baptist. But the Lord, as I was sitting there listening to that, the Lord clearly spoke to me, and he says, pack it in, basically. Stop it, throw them away. And I'm sitting there, and I'm having this conversation with God. I'm going, Lord, I'm fed up trying. I've tried that many times, and I'm just going back and back and back. Put them away. Forget about it. I says, right, Lord, this is the last time I'm going to try. No, I don't want you to try. I want you to do it. Are you going to trust me? Or are you going to trust yourself? I said, Lord, I know I need to trust you. He says, well, put them away. And I put them away, and I trusted God. And from that very day up until now, nothing. And I praise God for that. Now, about a year later, I'm sitting in the house. Oh, there's this mad desire for a cigarette. I said to the wife, I said, you wouldn't believe what's happening here. She says, what? I says, I would love a cigarette. You see? But God, help me through this as well. Now, hence, I'm out of sin, I'm out of drink, I'm out of bad language, I'm out of drugs, I'm out of smoking, I'm going on for the Lord. Now, I'm in the Sunday school work. I'm teaching children all about the Bible, the truth of God's word. And then I was starting to get a wee bit embarrassed and a wee bit annoyed because there was young girls coming in and so on and so forth, and I wasn't married, and my name's kicking over, and it's probably been the devil turning over things in my mind. Like, what do they think? People are going to think you're kind of a weirdo, like you're not married and all this here stuff, you know, and you're working with children. So it started getting me worried. So it did. And I said to the Lord, Lord, like, I don't know if I'm ever going to be married, but I says you do. And I says, Lord, your word kind of turned around and says that you'll bless those that find a wife. And I said, Lord, to find a wife. I said, Lord, every time I end up going out with somebody, that doesn't last no longer than, as I said, as I just seem to pick the wrong ones for some reason or another. But I says, Lord, will you pick my wife for me? Because it's not for me. Now, and I left it with the Lord. And I said, Lord, if you don't want me to get married, fair enough, I'll leave it with you. But I says, if you want me to get married, you choose the woman that I would marry. Now, at this time, I left the home where I was living in, and I moved to Whitehead. My mother at this time, she passed away, and I moved into the wee cottage that we had right beside the sea. It was a wee, like a wee manor's cottage. So it was. And I converted and put two wee bedrooms in it and so on and so forth. It was lovely, so it was, and I enjoyed it. And the wonderful thing about it was like a wee oasis. There was nae wee cottages, and I was the only one kind of living there until the summertime, and everybody came down the weekends and so on and so forth. You know, but it was great because you were alone with the Lord. I had the whole house to myself, but my prayer closet, believe it or not, my prayer closet was in the toilet. I literally went into the toilet and closed the door behind me. There was nobody else in the house, but it was in the toilet. And I had some powerful, wonderful times with the Lord on my knees in the toilet, worshipping and praising a God. And I says to the Lord, Lord, how am I going to find a wife if you want one for me? Well, the Lord directed me to Genesis. Now, you don't have to turn it up. I'll just read it what it is, because no time's running on. It says in Genesis, I said, Lord, how am I supposed to find a wife if you want a wife for me? And it says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 22. Now, the verse here, it's a latter end of the verse, but I'll read the verse. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman. Now here's the point here, and says, and brought her unto the man. Now that rung home to me. God says that he would bring the woman whom he wants me to marry to me. I'm going, well, that's a lot easier then for me to work out, so I don't really have to do too much to worry about it. So it didn't, I let it go. But the Lord put a desire in my heart to go into Carrickfergus to give out gospel tracts. And I'm standing up in Carrickfergus and I'm giving out gospel tracts week after week, not thinking anything about it. The Carrickfergus Free Presbyterian Church, they were always coming down on a Saturday afternoon, from about 11 to 12 or something like that, and they were preaching. And while they were preaching, I was standing out there just giving out gospel tracts. And people were coming along, and some characters, like, there was this one fella. He came along, he said he was a backslider, he was problem with drink, literally he was in a bad way with drink, so he was. And I started just talking to him about the Lord, so I did, and he knew right away what I was getting at, and he challenged me, and he gave me what for, don't you, he said, no, he says, yeah, I want to tell you something before you tell me anything. And he went down my neck. So he did. Just bump, 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 bump. And I give him his space now. Now he was torn over me, like. and I gave him a space. And then he stopped and he turned to go away. I says, excuse me, I want to say something to you. Oh no, I don't want to hear you. Well, I mean, what? I says, I listened to you for about 5 minutes breathing down my neck. I says, I want you to listen to me now, because I want to tell you about something about God. Oh no, 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 no. I says, well, if you're not going to stand and listen to me, if I have to follow you around Carrickfergus, I'll do it. Now you will. Okay. I'm up and I'm after him. And I'm walking straight behind him going, well, I'm not going to stop until you listen. And he walked right round the main road, right to the front of the castle, and he stopped and he went, all right, what do you want? I says, Jesus loves you. And I started talking to him about his sin. And he says he was a backslider for years and years, and so on and so forth. And that, funny enough, how God works things out, that ended up building up a friendship, so it did, with him and I. And yet, unto this day, as far as I know, he's not yet back to the Lord. But the wonderful thing about it was, he lived up in Green Island, and I would have, if I was heading, say, like, I was just finishing Carrick giving out tracks, and he was just heading home, maybe starting the bus stop. I lived in my head, it was the opposite direction. I said, look, get into the car, and I'll run you home. And I took him up to the house, and he took me in, had a wee cup of tea, and him and his wife. And I was able to explain the Word of God. And as far as I'm aware, his wife came to the Lord, and she's going to a church somewhere in Green Island. Now, God makes no mistakes. And that was one incident. There's loads of incidents. Maybe one fella just waved the stick at me and all. He wanted to beat me, you know. But he took the Word of God. But in saying that, the next time he came back, the following week, he's walking by in the stick, and he says, how don't you speak to him? With a big stick out, you know. But the Lord, in his grace and his mercy, he used the witness. There was even, as I said, people passing by. I mean, you're standing there and you're giving it a gospel tract. It's God's word. And if he says, it's his word will not return unto him void. All we are is laborers in the work. We can't save. All we do is sow that seed. And may the Lord bless that seed that it would fall on the good ground and produce a harvest, that precious souls would be saved. And this lady came, and she's from a gospel hall, and she came along and she was talking to me, and had a little girl with her, and I was saying that, I mean, she was saved, I was saying, the little girl, are you saved? She says no. I says, why not? Cut a long story short, she came to Christ. So she did, standing in the street, and henceforth that was absolutely lovely, and our precious soul saved. Now, in saying that, I said to the Lord about the wife. The Lord says to me that he would bring the woman to the man. He would bring my wife along. Now, henceforth, this lady passed by. I was speaking there. She was in a backslidden state. She lived in Ballyclare. And I tried to share with her. God convicted her, and she just run up the street. Next thing, this old lady came by. And we were chatting, and she said, oh, hello, how are you? And I'm going, hi. She says, you're my old neighbour. Okay, where I used to live in Belfast. She says, have you seen my mommy and my sister about? And I'm going to myself, who's your mommy and your sister? I haven't got a clue who you're talking about here. I says, no, I haven't. So her and I, we were just chatting, and she admitted that she was with a fella and he wasn't saved. And she was going with him, and she was kind of troubled about this. So she was. And I was just turning around saying to her, I said, well, look, I said, the best thing to do, quite honest with you, is take it to the Lord in prayer. Bring it to God, because he knows all about it. And I just looked at her, and I said, tell me this. Do you love him? And she just went, no. I said, well, tell God about it, and let God do the rest. And there was this wee lad with her. I says, is this your son? He says, yes. I says, okay. So I says, what I'll do, I says, I'll pray for you when I go home. I said, look, if you want, I says, there's my phone number there. I says, if you want, just give me a ring at any time at all, whether night and day. And I says, sure, we'll have a chat, and we'll go through the scriptures, and we'll try to help one another anyway. You know. Now, that was all right. This was on a Saturday night. So I went home. And reading through the Word of God, Tuesday came, If you turn to Matthew's Gospel, Tuesday came, Matthew chapter 2. I can find it here. Matthew chapter 2. Now, Matthew chapter 2 and verse 20. Now this lady was walking by, and I was speaking there, and she had this child, and she says that this child was hers. Now on Tuesday, the following Tuesday from the Saturday, I was sitting in the house and I was reading. And the Lord says to me in verse 20, "Arise, take the young child and his mother." Now, to me, without a shadow of a doubt, the Lord literally says to me, "This is your wife, Mark. You take her. I prepared her for you." Now, we were on the phone. We were chatting on the phone. So we were. Now, if you see the way this is, my wife, this young lad who she had with her, she fostered this young lad. Okay? So she was not the true parent of this child. Now, if you read the scripture, it says, "Take the young child and his mother." Okay? And I sat in the house, so I did, and kinda I was excited because I knew to be sure that the Lord has prepared a wife for me. And who am I to disobey God? But the Lord in his grace and his mercy found a wife for me. And my wife, Ruth, she's sitting over here, she literally phoned me up that evening on the same day. I was excited. You know what I mean? I'm going, "Wow, God is so wow." And I said, "Ruth," I says, "I've something to tell you." I'm not thinking anything about it. Like, I mean, to me, it's God's word. And I says, "I've something to tell you." And she says, "Look, I want to say this to you first." I says, "What is it?" I'm just bubbling. And she says, "Look, before we want to fill, I don't want to get into any relationships." Huh? And I'm going, "Okay." Enjoying being friendship and all this here, but I don't want to get into any relationships. Now, by this time, she was still going out with this fella. And I'm going, "Lord, Ruth is telling me she doesn't want to get into any relationships. You're telling me to take this young child and his mother." Now, this end up to me was turmoil. Okay? And as the Lord went on in my life, and I says, "Lord, I know she's going out with this fella. And I says, far be it from me. I says, I would prefer if you would save this fella. Literally speaking, if you would save this fella and you would bring the two of them together, that they would marry and be as one in Christ." But as it went on, the Lord confirmed the same promise that he gave to me in verse 13. "Arise and take the young child and his mother." Well, for about 4 months, my head was away. Literally speaking, I wakened up in the morning and Ruth was on my mind. I went to bed at night and Ruth was on my mind. And it, literally speaking, it was doing my head in. And I was saying to the Lord, "Lord, I can't stick this any longer. Either just abolish this altogether. Just take this woman out of my thoughts, out of my life, just because it's doing me harm. I can't focus in your work." But the Lord had a different plan. The Lord turned me to chapter 37 of the Psalms. And the Lord says to me concerning the fella who she was going out with. And the Lord's chapter 37 of the Psalms. And the Lord says to me, as I was reading through, the Lord says to me in verse 7, "Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him." Don't be worrying about this, man. I'll deal with it. And he says, "No, Lord, but I prefer." Now, this was on the 10th of June 2003. And the Lord, in his grace and in his mercy, continually worked with me. And the Lord then turned around and says to me, not to worry about this fella. And then the Lord turned around and took me to another portion of scripture in Psalms 124, verse 7. And the Lord turned around and says, 9 days later, the 19th of the 6th, the snare is broken. The snare is broken. And to me, the Lord says, he's out. He's away. Forget about it. It's done. They're no longer together. And I rejoiced. But yet I never seen Ruth. I was talking to her on the phone and so on and so forth. But and saying that, as I was growing on my Christian life and reading the Bible was kind of, I mean, it's like, this is not making sense. And there's all this pressure and pressure and pressure coming on because I'm reading the Word of God and I'm not getting understanding out of it. And it was really just doing my head in. And the Lord turned around and says to me, cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And I literally got down on my knees in the house, and I literally poured my heart out to my God. And I told him everything. The people who were annoying me, the sin that was burdening me, the things that was just really pressing me and weighing me down. And I says, Lord, that's the whole lot. Now your word says, I will never be moved. Will you deal with it? And from that day to this day, he's dealing with the whole lot of it. Now, and saying that, I was on a March of Witness. We do a March of Witness every month. And on the 12th of July, we would go in front of the parade in Belfast towards the field. And about a half an hour before the parade starts, we would march up towards the field. And henceforth, any other time, I would usually drive the bus. But this time, I was carrying the banner. And it was in the front lane. So it was. And we got up to the Ormo Road. I'm usually stopped there for a wee bit of a break, maybe about 10-minute break, and get an ice cream or something to drink. But I hears this voice in the crowd shouting, Mark, Mark. And I turns round, and it was Ruth. And she turned around and says, it's finished. It's over. We're not going out together. And I went, I know. I says, God told me. I says, sure, give me a ring anyway. So do. Give me a ring. And she says, right, well, you could wait for Ruth to ring you. So I end up ringing her. So I did. And we were chatting. Cut long story short, the Lord then put a desire in my heart to ask her out for a date. And these text messages, oh, they're brilliant, aren't they? And it takes me about at least a half an hour to run a text through. So it does. And I sent a text message. And I says, Ruth, how are you? She says, I'm not doing too good today. I says, and I'm praying away to the Lord. And I'm going, Lord, I'm going to ask this girl out for a date. I'm going to ask this girl out for a date. Because your word says this. And she's saying that. But it's your word. And your word can't lie. And I says, I'll pick you up. And I'll pick you up in a half an hour, and I'm taking no for an answer. And I went, send, waiting for a reply. And the reply came back saying, pick me up in an hour. So hence, I'm going, yippee, foo, away up the road. And I picked Ruth up, and picked a wee lad up called Matthew. And we went out for our first date. So we did. And then 2 weeks later, the Lord put it into my heart, they asked her to marry me. Now, I didn't know, man, what do you do? What do you say? You just don't go here. You marry me. And I was literally panicking. And I was up at a Bible study on a Wednesday night, and I was in the Bible study, and the Lord, through the one who was sending forth the message, spoke to my heart and says, take no thought for tomorrow. Do it now. So, although I was living the way ahead, I would have called in and headed on home. And this evening I called in And I was down there and trying to build up, literally building up the courage. And about a quarter to 12 that night, I turned around and looked at Ruth. I says, I've something to tell you. She says, what is it? I go, what am I going to do? I just looked her in the eye and I went, will you marry me? And she just looked with a blank expression. I went, Mark, you put your foot on it now, haven't you? And I stood there, and it was just like an eternity passed by before I heard a noise. And then she just went, you're serious? I says, no. Oh, you're right. I went, what? And I went, what do you do now? He doesn't get a clue. But henceforth, the Lord has blessed us. We got married, so we did. And we have another child there who we foster. And you call him Dean. And the Lord, through his word, told us to bring him in. Great wee boy, two great wee children. But if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Saviour, turn your life over. Let him in. What's sin? Sin's going to destroy you. I mean, God in his word says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, it's eternal life. Would you rather have your sin and perish and go to a lost eternity and be damned in hell? Or would you rather have life, and life more abundantly, and life to the full, and joy unspeakable in Christ? If you're here tonight and you're in your sin, you're not saved, please stay behind. Speak to somebody. And they'll be glad to point you to the Lamb of God who can take away your sin. Think about this. Jesus went to the cross for you. He suffered in your place for your sin. He paid the debt that you couldn't possibly pay. He shed his blood. And it's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Thank you for listening. Sorry for taking too much of your time up. And may the Lord bless you.
I'd like to thank Mark for his testimony this evening. It's wonderful to hear how the Lord can sort out very intricate situations to his glory. And maybe tonight you've got a problem. And you're saying, well, if I get saved tonight, there are things I'll have to change, and I just can't change them. You know, the Lord is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think. I was praying today about how to finish this meeting, how to end it. And sometimes you can come to a pulpit and you've got maybe three or four thoughts in your mind, but I've just written down a question here in this piece of paper before me, and the question is this: why are you not saved? And as Mark was bringing his opening remarks, he talked about that young lad last week, and he asked him that question, why are you not saved? And I can remember working in an engineering factory in Lisburn and witnessing to this man. And it took a long time for that opportunity to work out, and I felt that this man was very hard against the gospel. But it turned out as we were talking that in reality he was quite soft. I had this impression in my mind that he knew nothing about the gospel, but his brother had got saved. He'd been brought up in an evangelical church. And I says, well, David, if that's the case and you know that you're a sinner, and you know the gospel, and you've seen the power of God in your brother's life, well, then answer me this, why are you not saved? And he turned around and says, I don't know. You see, the Bible talks in Romans chapter 1 about being without excuse. And you know, I don't believe there's anybody tonight in this meeting that has an excuse that's valid for not being saved. There's sometimes you just feel that there's nothing more that can be said or needs to be said or should be said. But folks, the reality of the matter is this. Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says you must be saved. You need to be saved. The word of God makes it clear as well that you should be saved. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 6. Why should you be stricken anymore? And praise God, the Bible also tells us that you can be saved. You need to be saved. You should be saved. you can be saved. You say, preacher, tell me how. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only man that ever lived a righteous life, fulfilled the penalty for God's broken law whenever he suffered, bled, and died upon the cross. The Bible says that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That is the gospel in a nutshell. Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. Now here's your responsibility. The word of God says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that word call, as it's recorded there in Romans chapter 10 verse 13, it literally means to cry. And if you know that you're a sinner, and you know God has spoken to your heart, and you believe that Jesus Christ has died for you, then the Bible has made it very simple. Cry unto God for mercy. Ask him to take your sin away. Ask him to come into your heart and life and make you a new creature. And by faith receive him. For as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Why are you not saved? There's really no excuse. God has spoken, I believe, to your hearts tonight. Maybe God has spoken to you. You say, well, it's time I was saved. It is. I wonder, will you give your life to God tonight? Come to Christ. Turn from your sin and trust him and him alone. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Our loving God and our everlasting Father, we want to thank thee tonight that there is a Savior from all sin. We thank thee, Lord, for the sufficiency of the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ to save the whosoever that will believe. And Father, I pray tonight in the Savior's name that thou wilt speak on. While the voice of man is silent, and in the dying moments of this meeting, we pray, Lord, that thy Spirit will work. Lord God, there are folk here tonight and they're not saved. They need to be saved. And they ought to be saved. We pray, Lord, tonight that thou wilt save them. Father, please hear and answer prayer. We ask these things in the Savior's name. Amen. Amen. Now, don't be in any rush away. But ask God's people, please, to be sensitive. The Spirit of God, perhaps, has been speaking. And so we'd ask God's people just to be sensitive to that fact this evening. We'll ask our brother Mark, please, to go to the door. If you have to rush on, we understand that. But please, as many as possible, stay behind. Thank you.